Are you ready to take your business to the top? Well, strap in and hold on tight. You're listening to the Top of the Wall podcast from Redwall Marketing. Business and marketing strategies to lift you above the competition and over the wall of mediocrity. Now, here's your host, J.R. Griggs.
Hey, welcome to episode 3, the Top of the Wall podcast. J.R. Griggs here. And today we're looking at method 2 in the CPR method that we've been talking about, and that is increasing profits per transaction. Now, the idea here is to take your profits and pricing and not just increase overall, but in small measures. So we're looking at each one of these three methods that we've been talking about, and we're looking for small increases. We're looking for little ways to increase each one. And remember, if you were listen to the first episode of this called the CPR method, you'll know that 10% of each equals a 33% increase in overall business. So what we're looking at is not, okay, yeah, let's increase profits. We're going to look at how to do it per transaction, just little steps that we can do to increase your costs or increase your profits per transaction. We're going to look at 5 today. It's really more than that because there are five concepts or strategies, but then there's different tactics for those strategies. But we're going to look at 5 strategies today. So I want to jump right in and get going so we can cover all 5. And the first one I'm going to cover is pricing and cost together, because that's probably the first thing you're thinking of. That's what everybody does when I say, you know, you need to increase your profit per transaction. First thing they run to is, well, I could increase prices or I can cut costs. And sometimes that's a good idea. Sometimes your costs do need to be adjusted. However, that's a bit of a bigger, bigger issue that you have to look at. It's not so easy to just decide right there on the spot, okay, I'm just going to cut costs. I'm going to, find a better supplier, or I'm going to remove, things. So we don't want to decrease quality. That's not going to necessarily increase sales. We don't want to skimp our employees or buy thinner paper or less expensive. We're not looking to do that, okay? We're not looking to cut the AC off so we can cut our electricity and increase our profits, okay? You know, you want to run a healthy, functional business that operates on what it needs to. And, of course, making sure your costs are low or at least, to where they should be is smart. But it's not something that, I could necessarily walk into your business today and with your next customer automatically increase the profit on that transaction. So that's a bigger, issue to look at. Now, raising prices, sure, we could just raise the prices right then and there on the spot, just decide to charge more. However, as I always say, you have to have a reason to charge more. You can't just raise your prices and expect the customer to pay it, unless the demand is really high. If you've got a ton of demand, sure, raise prices. I always recommend if demand's really high and you can't keep up with it, supply and demand says your prices should go up, and you can actually increase your profits and sales without taking on more customers and more expense to get those customers. So pricing could work. However, again, you have to have a reason. You got to have a reason. If you're selling, a widget for the same price that somebody down the street's selling it for, and there's no difference, increasing prices is most likely, unless there's something significantly wrong with your competitor, going to just send your competition to the competitor. In fact, a great case in point, actually, just recently, my family goes to, we love the, what did it start with? When You Say Yogurt, or You Say When Yogurt. Remember the, that was the original yogurt company that lets you measure by the ounce. You put as much as you want in the cup and you pay, they weigh it and you're paying by the ounce. So it's kind of cool. It's actually really fun. My wife and kids, we love going over to a place here. Again, I won't mention the name, but there's a place down the street that we started going to. It was brand new. We got an ad one day that they were opening and thought, hey, let's go try this out. And it was great. It's just the coolest thing. They got 20 different flavors of yogurt, and they've got all these different toppings. And you just go in there and you fill up your cup, add your toppings, they weigh it, you pay whatever it is. Well, the price was, if I'm not mistaken, 49 cents an ounce. Does that sound right? I think it was 49 cents an ounce, okay? And, you know, we'd go in there, we'd get our yogurt, and you kind of start to know what's a good amount to get so you're not, you know, paying crazy numbers. But, you know, 49 cents an ounce, we'd go there all the time, and the kids loved it, my wife loved it, I loved it, so it was a lot of fun. Well, one day we go in there, and I didn't notice they raised the price, but we got about the normal amount we usually get, and it just seemed like it was more money, like, you know, a significant amount more. It was kind of weird. And it turned out that it was now 55 cents an ounce. And that's like a, you know, that's a decent, you know, increase there. It's like a 10% increase for what? Like why? Like, well, what? I'm looking around. There's nothing that's changed. You know, shoot, maybe costs went up. I don't know. But it was a significant amount. And we, I think a week later, we wanted to go back. And I know that there's one down the street. I mean, I'm talking like stone throws distance. It's across the street, not too far. You could walk to this other one. And they're still 49 cents. We had never been in there. We just figured, oh, let's go try the other one. So we go in there, and they're still 49 cents. And they've got the same exact setup inside. I mean, it's exact. I mean, the same yogurts, different flavors, but same thing, 20-something flavors and all these different toppings. It's 49 cents instead of 55. So it's one of those things where you're looking at it and you're thinking, okay, well, why am I paying the extra 6 cents an ounce for the same exact product? I see no difference, nothing. There's nothing that's differentiating the two businesses. I mean, it's not necessarily a nicer place. They don't have better ingredients. It's yogurt. It's the same frozen yogurt with the same toppings. I mean, you got Snickers and Twix and gummy bears and, you know, peanuts and whatever, M&Ms. It's all the same stuff. There's really no difference. So that was a situation where somebody raised prices and it made no sense to do so. It just didn't. So they were trying to increase profit. Maybe their overhead's too high. I don't know. But I guarantee you, we weren't the only customer who noticed the big, you know, the difference and thought, well, let's go try this other place. It's right across the street. So raising prices isn't always going to work, all right? It's not the best way automatically to increase your profits. So let's try to, you know, get out of that. Unless you're priced way under the market and you shouldn't be, or you can increase the value you're offering for your product or for your price, or you could somehow reduce your costs without cutting quality or getting lesser employees or taking from your employees, sure, maybe that's going to help. But let's look at some smarter ways. The next four ways, we're going to look at smarter ways to, you know, to cut back. So let's look at packaging. This is what we discussed in, I believe it was episode 2, when I introduced this model. We talked about packaging products together for a lower price. So we mentioned, I think I mentioned the coffee example. You've got coffee that's, I think I used a price of a dollar with an 80 cent profit, assuming it costs 20 cents to make the coffee. And you've got a muffin that's a price of $2, and it costs you a muffin, or it costs you a dollar, costs you a muffin, costs you a dollar to sell that $2 muffin. Well, packaging that is saying that, hey, if you buy a coffee today, you get a muffin for $1.50. So we're packaging the two products together, and while the end price is 50 cents less than if the customer had just bought those two products anyway, the idea is that more people would take you up on that offer than would normally come in and buy a coffee and a muffin separately. And your profits on the coffee and muffin, again, if it's 80 cents profit on the coffee and a dollar on the muffin, if they buy them separately, you have $1.80 in profit. Okay, but the idea here is the average customer is not buying them together. So we're going to package it to try to sell these two products together to increase the profit per transaction, not the profit per item, the profit per transaction. And if you do the math on that, if you've got an 80 cent coffee or an 80 cent profit coffee and a dollar profit muffin, and you reduce the price of the two of them by 50 cents because they're buying them together, you're now at $1.30 in profit. Whereas before, you might have only had your 80 cents from the coffee, or you might have only had a dollar from the muffin. By trying to package the two together, we made it $1.30 in profit. So that's what you can do with packaging. And you could do that. I mean, any industry can do it. There's always a way to package something together. And again, you might make less profit per item in that moment because it's packaged. But overall, the transaction ends up being a higher profit. And that's what we're doing. If 10% of your market took you up on the offer, just 10% of your market, one out of every 10 people, you're going to make an extra 30 cents per 10 people. And again, we're using small numbers here. We're using just simple stuff. But take that and apply that to your business and see where you could package things together to make more profit per transaction. And again, that's the end goal we're looking at. These are little changes. They're just little. And you know what? 90% of the people might say no. But that 10%, if you do the math, chances are is going to be enormous over the day, week, month, and year. Could be an enormous difference in your bottom line. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for little changes that increase the big picture down the road. Another good way to increase your profits per transaction is if you're a, typically if you're a local business, or if you are a, even if you're an online business, you can have products near the point of sale. Okay. What this simply means is as somebody's checking out, whether it's an online shopping cart or an in-person cash register, have some items right then and there that they could see and go, oh, I need that. And if you, I mean, come on, go to any grocery store, gas station, whatever. There's things that are going to be right next to the counter. And this is statistically proven items that sell at checkout. The candy and magazines are not near the checkout by coincidence or just randomness. They're there because you're checking out, you're waiting, you're looking at covers of magazines, you're staring at chocolate, your taste buds start going off that you want that Snickers bar, and next thing you know, it's in the cart, or the breath mint, or the gum. Those are the things you're typically going to see at the at the cash register in a grocery store or gas station. You may even see little, you know, things depending on where you are. You might see like a little sanitizer thing, you know, that people would want to buy on their way out. That's the thing you're going to see at point of sale. What that does is takes the little, you know, the little bit of groceries that somebody's buying and adds a couple items, a magazine or a candy bar, or again, whatever else is there at the point of sale. Same thing. There's no reason you can't do that same thing with an online business by offering something else at the point of sale that they might want, something else they may need. And again, if you do it at a discount, hey, because you bought this, you can package that together and we're going to save you 20% off of this item. So at the point of sale, here's the other very interesting thing about point of sale. When somebody's standing there at the cash register or at the checkout, what are they doing? They're generally saying, yes, take my money. Here it is. I'm going to spend it with you because I like what you have and I like this product and I'm willing to spend my money here. That is the perfect customer to offer some other product to. They're ready to pay. They're ready to buy. Now is when you offer them something else. So point of sale products are huge. If you are campgrounds, you go to a campground and you check in. What should be right there by the cash register? Little items somebody might have forgot. Okay, right in front of their face, matches, or anything they would have forgot, bug spray. You're camping, right? A hotel could have the same thing. A hotel right at the point of sale, if you had products to sell, could have like little, you know, mouthwash or toothpaste, little items like that, that somebody might have forgotten. So what you're looking to do is you're looking to take items that are somewhat of an impulse buy, sometimes a need, like a right then need. Needs to be impulse items, something that goes well or complements the product. And online, you have really limited capabilities because, or unlimited capabilities, because you can package exactly based on what they are buying. Whereas with a store, it's going to be the same things all the time. Online, you could package exactly what they're buying. If somebody's buying shoes from your website, you can package the shoe cleaner right then and there. So that's right at the point of sale. Oh, you know what? I will need that. Or socks to go with the shoes, matching the brand. There's all kinds of things you can do online. And then if you got a local business, there's all kinds of things you can do right there. Know your market, know what their impulses are, and know what their right now needs are. Okay, my little toothpaste travel thing, a little travel thing of toothpaste is a right now need because I forgot my toothpaste. So I'm going to buy it right now if I needed that toothpaste. So those are the items you want to look at. So that's your point of sale method, is finding things customers would want to buy right there at the point of sale. Again, that's going to increase transaction size because they're buying something else out of impulse or need, instant need. The next two things we're going to look at are upselling and cross-selling. These are two things that are just, they're absolutely a must. In any business, you should have upsells and cross-sells. And you should have downsells too, but we're not going to cover downsells today just because downsells don't actually necessarily increase profit per transaction. They will, however, sometimes increase sales overall, because the idea with a downsell is somebody comes in to buy a product and is about to leave without the product because of cost or whatever else the case may be, you offer them a less expensive product to try to get the sale. So that would actually be a good item for the previous episode where we talked about getting more customers. But to get more profits per transaction, let's look at upsells, okay? An upsell is any time that somebody's coming in to buy a product and you upgrade them to another product, to a better product, a better version of it. You go into the Apple store for an 8 gig iPad or iPod, the upsell is getting you to the 16 gig instead because it has better space and you can do more things with it. The upsell is a better room, a premium rental car. You know, the instead of the digital download online, you can get the digital and physical copy for this much more. You know, that's an upsell. When you go into McDonald's, they don't say it anymore, but they used to call it supersizing, which I always thought was better. And I think I still would call it supersizing. But, you know, would you like to supersize that order? You know, they're upselling. Bigger fries, bigger drink, okay? And the profits are going up because you're getting the bigger fry and bigger drink at a pretty big discount because you're already buying the meal. But to them, it's still more profit because the French fries and drink are very low cost to a fast food restaurant. That's why all of them offer it. I mean, most of them are going to offer the chance to go medium or large, and a good business that's selling fast food or really any food should be offering additional items. Upsell, always. In fact, I wrote a post back a while ago about waitresses and how waitresses could make more money because tips are based on percentages. So a waitress should be upselling and cross-selling, we'll get into that in a minute, all of their, you know, visitors. Because if your tip is based on the percentage, which most people, you know, base it on a percentage, I typically do 20%. So if you take my meal from $30 to $40 or to $50, you're going to be adding $2 for every 10 I spend. You times that by the amount of customers you have in the restaurant each day, your tips are going to go up. So I always talk to, you know, restaurants or businesses like that where they got waiters and waitresses, it's in their best interest to upsell. So if, you know, any business that's trained their employees properly on how to, you know, cash out or checkouts or whatever it is going to be asking that question. And McDonald's has made a fortune with the, would you like to supersize that question? Or I think it's now, you know, would you like to make that large, whatever they're calling it. And then Burger King, I think, had the king size. I don't know if they still call it king size, but again, you generally won't walk out of one of those, you know, restaurants, fast food places without somebody asking you if you want to, you know, go larger with it. Restaurants can do the same thing. You know, if you order a certain drink, you know, would you like to make that a double, or would you like to, you know, order the ultimate? I think Fridays had a, you know, like you order a Long Island iced tea. They had like an ultimate Long Island iced tea. It was enormous. You could upsell to that. So anytime you can take your current product and make it bigger or a premium version or a different style of that, like going from digital to physical, something like that, That's an upsell. Now, a cross-sell is when you add a different product. So a cross-sell isn't necessarily upgrading the current item, but it's selling them something else that you have. So a cross-sell, well, really, you know, I was just thinking McDonald's again. You order the burger, they're going to ask you if you want, you know, drink and fries. Typically, they're going to ask you if you want fries with that, or do you want a meal? The meal is packaging. Asking if you'd like fries with that is cross-selling. So when you ask for a burger, wherever your favorite burger place is, and they ask, would you like fries with that? They're cross-selling. They're trying to get you to buy something else. And you know what? If you ask, some people, oh, yeah, I'll take fries with that. Or would you like to make that a meal? It's only a dollar more. Or whatever the, you know, the price is, the meal is the package. The fries are the cross-sell. So they're adding a different item. And every industry, again, there's got to be something else you can sell that's going to help. If you're buying a car, they're going to try to sell you an extended warranty. They're going to try to sell you LoJack and, you know, gap insurance and window etching and anything else they can sell you, they're going to try a service agreement to come in and get your oil changes. You know, they're going to have something else for you to purchase that's not necessarily a premium version. It's a different product that they sell. That's going to increase your profit per transaction by having those items. So you want to make sure that you have something in your business that you could sell or package. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be your product. It could be another product. I've seen businesses that do it with a separate company's product because they did a joint venture, which we talked about in the last episode, with another business. So they have something else to sell. They have something else to offer. You know, so think about in your business right now, you know, whether you're a local brick and mortar, so to say, business, or you're an online business, what products can you cross-sell with your current products? What can you offer the customer? If you don't ask, you're not going to get. And if you notice here, everything that I'm really covering here about increasing your profit per transaction is about putting it in their face and asking. That's it. And being aware that it doesn't matter if they reject you 90% of the time or 80% of the time, it doesn't matter. The end result is going to be increased profits per transaction, which over time is going to be a very nice increase in profits. Even if it's just that 10%, combine that with the last episode of a 10% increase in new customers and the next episode with a 10% increase in repeat business, and you've got a 33% increase in overall revenue. That's what we're looking for. We're looking to piece these things together. So in review, let's look at, you know, again, pricing and costs. You know, that's a trickier ball game right there. You increase the, you know, you cut costs, you may be cutting quality, maybe you don't have any costs to cut, and it's not something you could do necessarily today, okay? Increase prices, sure, you could increase prices, make sure there's a reason to, or you're very low compared to the rest of the market, or you can somehow increase some additional value to the product that makes it worthwhile and make sure that your competitor, you know, down the street is not, you know, at, you know, 50%, you know, or that you're not adding a 10%, you know, increase over your competitor who's right down the street. I hope I got those numbers right, by the way. I keep thinking maybe it's like, maybe it's 4.9 cents an ounce or 49 cents. I'm not sure. But either way, you know, you don't want to go increasing the cost to the customer without a reason to be higher priced. Packaging, you know, would you like to make that a meal or would you like to add a muffin? It's only $1.50 if you do, or bundling. You know, another thing my kids like is Starbucks. Starbucks has the, and you know, it's funny saying that because I remember, I think there was, it was a few months back, and I don't remember where we were, but my daughter says to me, we will sometimes let them get the cream frappuccinos from McDonald's, so there's no coffee in it or espresso. It's just, you know, sugar and chocolate. not that that's all that much better, but it was just funny. We're in this room, and there's this other people there, and my daughter, who is just turned 9, looks to me and says, I want to go to Starbucks and get a Frappuccino. And I remember somebody else looked like, did a 9-year-old just ask to go to Starbucks and get a Frappuccino? Well, you know, we go there a lot, and the other thing they like is the cake pops that they have there. So they're super addicted to these little cake pops. And I know Starbucks does, it's like $1.50 for one, or, you know, two for $2.50 or whatever the case is. You save a little bit of money if you buy the two. So it's a better deal to upgrade to the two. And we usually end up getting four because although there's five of us, one of us may not eat one or whatever. But and you know what? We're not total junk food eaters. I keep mentioning McDonald's, Burger King, Starbucks, cake. I like to eat some of that stuff. Generally, we're pretty darn healthy with our eating. But on cheat days, I tend to go and eat whatever I want. And so we go have some fun with yogurt and cake pops, by the way. But packaging is another good way, as we talked about. Point of sale, get things right there in front of the customer. When they've got that credit card or dollar bill or wallet in hand, have something else that might catch their eye so that they may purchase it. Upsells, we talked about how you can upgrade, you know, certain products to a premium or extend a warranty or, you know, whatever it could be that you could add to that product for, you know, obviously it's going to cost them more money and you should have a higher margin in it. You should have a higher price in it because there shouldn't be, it's not the same as trying to sell them the one product. You're just upgrading it, a larger fry or a larger drink or whatever the case may be. They're already using a cup. They're already using your ice. They're already filling it with soda. You up them to the next size up and, you know, you can afford to do so at a very low cost and still have a nice increase in profit for the overall transaction. Then cross-sells, something else you can sell the customer, something else, whether it's your product or somebody else's product, something in a different category that adds to the product. Again, if they're buying a grill, offer them the charcoal. You know, it's that simple. It's another product that you could offer them at the time, you know, and cross-sell them to that product. So take a look at your business again. Take a look at these five areas, specifically the last four, because that's typically going to be the ones that you can easily today, right after this podcast, you stop listening to it when it's over, of course, and you could apply these four practices right now to your business and increase your profit per transaction. And just be aware that no, not everybody's going to say yes. Okay, not everybody's going to say yes. Stick it out, do the math. If you can get a small percentage of them to say yes, your profits are going up, and that's what really matters. It's the big picture we're looking for. It's the end result with these little steps. That's it for this one. Tomorrow we're going to look at the five ways to increase repeat business. So we're taking all the new customers we got, and we're getting more profit for each transaction. Now we're going to get them to come back and buy more often our products or services or whatever the case may be. So once you get through these three sessions, I'm telling you, 10% in each one, you're going to see a nice increase in business. Focus on each one. Take it one at a time. Don't let it be overwhelming. And we're going to see you on the next episode and get those customers coming back more often.
Thanks for listening to the Top of the Wall podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and subscribe to the channel so you don't miss any of the great episodes coming up for you. For more resources and tools to take your business to the top, visit redwallmarketing.com.